Krishna Vane Jaya Rama.
I just woke up from sleep. I'm still all over the place. Oh, very good. Where was it? Yeah. We start any moment. Santosha, you have an idea what to do, please? Just one moment, we are getting the harmonium in harmony. So Hare Krishna, I want to welcome all of you. We are ready to start now. Those of you who are new to this evening's presentation, I will give a few introductory words. The whole idea of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is to enter into a contact with Krishna. And in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's manual, the Bhajan Rahasya, he offers us three ways. First of all, he starts with an instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is which is from the Chikshastakam. In these eight instructions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu either talks directly about chanting, or he talks about the qualifications and inner moods and inner orientations which are necessary for someone who wants to come in contact with Krishna through the holy names. So, good. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his books deals with Shikshastakam and its prayers, and then gives us a running verse meditation with different verses included, which help us to understand the concepts of the Shikshastakam, with which he deals chapter by chapter in eight chapters. But the final conclusion of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not philosophical. The final conclusion in entering a relationship with Krishna is, you could say, aesthetic, or it is relishing Krishna's qualities, Krishna's forms, and ultimately Krishna's pastimes. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore gives for each day a certain meditation, a certain song, which describes a particular pastime, and in it Krishna's qualities and Krishna's form. And we have taken these songs from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings and researched a little bit in Vaishnava scriptures about these particular pastimes which are known to devotees who like to meditate about Krishna. So this evening is also not really a philosophical evening. It's an evening of relishing Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's activity, qualities, I wanted to say, so that it will be easier for us when we chant the name Krishna to know the person whose name we are calling. When you know more about a person, then the name of the person which you call means something to you. Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Hare, Hare.
Yeah.
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Hare.
It is mid-morning. The poor Vana Lila of forenoon pastime of Sri Krishna in the eternal Vrindavan is about to start. It is important to note that all the cowherd boys, the friends of Lord Krishna, are extremely impatient by that time. They wish to leave the village. They could not really find good sleep because throughout the night they always woke up because excitement wouldn't allow Nidra Devi to totally conquer them. And they would come in the midst of the night and knock at Nanda Maharaj's palace, and Yashoda would open and say, what do you want? Krishna, where is Krishna? We want to go for cow herding. Ah, go to bed, it's still too early, it's the mid of the night. So the small little cowherd boys went back to their houses trying to catch some sleep, and after an hour again, they would wake up because they dreamt about being together with Krishna in the forest and playing with him. And they again went to the door and knocked. And again Yashoda woke up with hairs all over. Again you are? What do you wish? Is Krishna ready to go for cow herding? Not now. Let Krishna sleep. Tomorrow when the sun is rising, then you may go. So about three or four times they had come, being impatient to start their day's activities. And now, in mid-morning time, that means 8:24, they are extremely excited. They're ready to leave the village of Vrindavan to go cow herding. How do Krishna's friends look? many of them have attractive top knots in their hair. That means their long hair is bound in a knot. And in that knot they have put peacock feathers, so they look very nicely decorated. Some of them have shaved heads and only long, how do you call these?
Sideburns.
Really? It looks a little bit like our Jewish brothers, you know. So, and they have colorful dresses. They are decorated fully with ankle bells so that they make nice sound. And some of them have taken the different colored earth of Vrindavan, red, yellow, green, and painted themselves attractively for the occasion of cow herding. They have sticks, and around all their shoulders you will find ropes which they need to tie the legs of the cows at the time of milking them, so that they won't, the cows won't kick them. Meanwhile, Nanda Bhavan, sometimes we say also Yashoda Bhavan, expert servants get Krishna ready for the day's activity. They oil him in fragrant oil. They put new clothing around him and ornaments. They dress him with garlands and they apply a certain tilak which they call Bhakti Cheda, yeah, the ornament of Bhakti. It's a tilak they put on Krishna's forehead. It's made out of sandalwood with a little reddish taint, and it doesn't have this part, it just has this part and then a little dot here. Most attractive Bhakti Cheda tilak. Krishna's limbs are smeared with musk, with saffron, with sandalwood, and there are finely painted pictures on his body. Actually, I will request Gabi to show one of the pictures of Syama Sundar. You know, the ones which I want to have, where his face is painted. It's a big... Yeah? Or would you like to give me the book? Then I can show exactly what I mean. Krishna has pictures on the body. Once I saw in Radha, in Tota Gopinath's temple, a pujari painting for 1.5 hours. Thank you. Pictures on Krishna's body. And it was just such a loving scene, you know. He was kneeling before Tota Gopinath, and he had a silver stick, and he, you know, put one hand on the nose of Tota Gopinath. They made a picture. And here, Gabi has been in Vrindavan, and she has taken her photo camera along, a Western photo camera. And here you can see Krishna. You see? Very beautiful painting. In Vrindavan, everything is not boring, but full of colors and paintings. No, because then you will look only at the pictures and not listen afterwards, because it's so overwhelmingly beautiful. Then Krishna wants to go, but one servant says, wait, and he takes a big crown. It's made solidly out of peacock feathers, and he puts it on the head of Krishna. Then Krishna looks at it like a peacock feather crown. And then another servant comes and said, wait, you still need your ring. And then he puts, it's called a signet ring, on Krishna's finger. And on that ring, there is the name of Krishna, Krishna, is on that ring. Krishna always needs this ring for the forest, because he will put this ring into various substances of sandalwood and send messages to Krishna. It's like signing, you know, Krishna. Then Krishna has a necklace with pearls, and one pearl is so big that the image of Radharani is reflected in it. Yes, and Krishna gets his jewel-studded flute, which he tucks to the right side of his sash, and then he has a buffalo horn called Mandaghosha, which he tucks on the left side of his sash. And then, listen to this, he has a yellow lagudi. Lagudi is a cow herding stick. So Krishna's lagudi is yellow, and then there is a red string which moves up like a snake. So this lagudi looks red and yellow, and all the cows love this lagudi which Krishna has in his left hand. Then Krishna is almost ready to go, but he needs still one ornament which he really wants. So he says to his servants, "Where is my special enchanting ornament?" And one of the servants gets a play lotus flower. It's a small lotus flower. It's not so huge. It's just like this. And Krishna puts it in the right hand, and he twirls it like this. And this is what Krishna does with this lotus flower, because he wants to enchant the minds of the young Raja gopis. It's a movement, it's very... Then Balaram comes. Balaram looks the color of a snowy mountain top, and he's met by his companions. And Krishna then starts to walk. He has his servants with him, and his servants are really wonderful. One servant has a little wooden box which he has covered with a silken cloth, and in this wooden box are Krishna's sweets, which he eats on the way. Then Krishna has a flask, not like this, it looks more like a moonstone flask, for his drinking water and juices. And in this way, the servants all carry their items, you know, as if it is their lives themselves. They go like this behind Krishna, as if the thermos, the flask or the sweet basket or whatever is life itself. They go down the road. I would like to read to you now a little bit how this procession of Krishna's friends, which goes down the road, look. My dear devotees, you have seen processions maybe at carnival, or you have seen processions at army processions parading up and down. But the perfection of your eyes is to see the Krishna procession. Listen. He's already playing the flute. As Krishna strolled down the road, the demigods honored him with showers of fragrant flowers. The young damsels of Braj worshipped Krishna from their windows with the petals of their lotus eyes. They stand behind the windows and look at Krishna and worship him with their eyes. The toddlers is a small child who has just learned to walk, if he is lucky. He often falls. Is a very small child. The toddlers on the roadside respected Krishna by saying, "Jai, Jai," in soft, indistinct voices. You can't hear it very clearly because they're just learning to speak. So, "Jai, chai, they say. The village elders, they stand at the doorway blessing Krishna by raising their right palms. May you have a good day. Krishna blew his buffalo horn called Mandragosha, which means the thunderous sound, as he neared the Goshalas. The horn's vibration pleased the Brajavasis and destroyed all inauspiciousness. When the gopis, however, heard it, they became especially captivated as their love peaked in high waves. So you can see Krishna blowing in this horn. Some devotees have asked, why do we blow the conch shell? The reason is that when you blow the conch shell, the strong vibration clears out all inauspiciousness, including old ghosts of the past, from the atmosphere. Now, Mandragosha, that is not just a conch shell, that has a thunderous sound. Boom, 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 boom. It's really loud, and it really blows the atmosphere clean. Now, as Krishna walks through his beloved village of Vrindavan, he very attentively looks at how the village presents itself to him. And would you like to know how Vrindavan village looks at the morning time? In some places, dried cow dung cakes were stacked as high as mountains. There were innumerable goshalas, housing Braj's unlimited wealth of cows. The branches of the trees were blossoming with flowers and were natural shelters for the calves. And the mixture of earth and powdered dry cow dung made the pathways soft and pleasing to walk on. It was really as if you were touching powder as Krishna was walking on the path. And it was very pleasing. The procession starts. Krishna goes and everyone goes along. Flute sounds, horn sounds, pan pipes, combined with a deep lowing means mooing of the cows, which seemed to rival the rumbling of thunder. As the music resounded through the heavens, the demigods lost all their gravity and glorified Krishna's procession with shouts of Jai Jai Shri Krishna!
Jai Jai Shri Krishna!
Brajabhumi, the land of Braj, eagerly manifested the lotus of her heart wherever lotus-eyed Krishna placed his lotus feet while walking in the forest. Brajabhumi felt thrilled from the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. You must know, Krishna's cows walked over the land. There were millions of cows, and they all were eager for the new grasses, which soon disappeared, you know, when these millions of cows went over it. But Brajabhumi was so ecstatic. It was as ecstatic as a young bhakta who hears a kirtan and his hairs are standing on end. So in this way, Brajabhumi sprouted much, much, much green grass even after the cows had gone there. This is the procession. There were only two groups of people sad during the procession. Everywhere else was music, flower petals, jai jai, and Mandragosha, making music. Only two groups were dissatisfied. It was the beautiful gopis who felt oh no, Krishna will go to the forest and he will put his soft lotus feet on the hard stones on the path, and he will be suffering on his soft feet. And this thought just really gave them tears in their eyes. Mother Yashoda also felt unhappy for the same reason. She said, Krishna, we have so many servants. Why do you have to go out? You stay home and eat. And also, what will you do with your soft feet? There are so many thorns. Krishna says, Mother, you don't know. There are all these musk deers, and with their tails, they sweep the path so that the path is as soft as a cushion. I like it more in the forest. So, Mother Yashoda is very grief-stricken, and all of a sudden she gets an idea. She goes next to Krishna and says, My child, if you see a ferocious wild animal while herding the cows in the forest or caves of Govardhan Hill, then you must meditate on Narayan, the eternal Lord, and he will protect you. As Krishna listened to Yashoda's words, it was only with the greatest difficulty that he prevented a smile from rising on his bimba fruit lips. My dear devotees, may that suppressed smile of Krishna protect the three words. As a form of protection, Mother Yashoda lovingly touched all of Krishna's limbs while chanting mantras with the Lord's name. Om Rishikeshaya, Om Tribhuvanathaya. For additional safety, Yashoda tied a bejeweled Nishinga Kavacha on Krishna's wrist. And then she thinks it's not enough protection. She runs home again, down again, and then she comes out with a little thing, you know, which has two tiger claws. It's like this. And he puts it around the neck so that if any bad spirit comes, the spirit will see the tiger, what is it, claws, and run away. Yes, yes. Finally, Krishna bent down to touch his parents' feet, saying, Oh, mother, oh, father, please give me protection to go now. He's like a restless child, you know, who doesn't respond so well when he's bemothered or befathered. When Krishna, the moon of the Brijvasis, finally leaves into the forest of Vrindavan, Nanda and Yashoda just faint. I read to you. The Brajbasis, though completely devastated themselves, picked up Nanda and Yashoda, who were lying on the ground, unconscious, in separation from Krishna. Together they unwillingly returned to their homes. Their bodies moved towards their homes merely out of habit, but their minds followed Krishna into the forest. The group leaders of the Sakis had also fainted out of separation from Krishna. And, you know, these younger gopis took the leaders, you know, they said, rest your hand on my shoulder. And then these beautiful gopis walk into the village, you know, taking the help of each other's shoulder. Their minds, however, stays with Krishna. There's a beautiful description of the Brajabasi's absorption in Krishna, which I find very, very telling. When Gokumar returns to Goloka Vrindavan, he asks all these Brajabasis who are now in the village for Krishna's whereabouts. But they just look at him and through him, because they don't hear him. you need a mind in order to understand someone. Isn't it? When you are unconcentrated, someone speaks to you, do you ask, can you say that again? I was just somewhere else. So the Brijbasis, they all tell to Gop Kumar, can you ask your question again? I was just somewhere else, you know. Gop Kumar asks again and again, but the Brijbasis can't hear him. They are too much with their minds with Krishna. Finally, he meets an elderly man who's on the field, and he asks him, where is Krishna? And the elderly man looks at him and says, not long. Yeah, this is separation. My dear devotees, when will our activities in this world become mechanical like this, and our chanting becomes fully enlivened? That is what we want to learn. So Krishna herded the cows, but while he was herding the cows, he was simultaneously engaged in playing. I have heard when the cowherd boys walk through the forest, one runs before and makes his back like this, and then everyone else comes and jumps. Choop, choop, choop. They just jump and they play flutes and they dance and they wrestle and they joke. It's really a procession which has a lot of life. A lot of life. Shukadev Goswami describes to us the ultimate meditation in Krishna consciousness. It's that meditating how Krishna with his cowherd boys goes into the forest of Vrindavan. He has one Karnikara flower over his ear. It looks like a trumpet. Boop, boop. It's like this somehow, a long-range trumpet. And he's just so enlivened and he's just so moving that he always takes that flower and then puts it in this flower and over this ear. He's just so happy. And then he doesn't really, how do you say, walk. He skips. And jumps and plays his flute, and his cowherd boys run after him. It's really a joyous procession as Krishna enters the forest and covers Vrindavan with his enchanting footprints. So yes, we leave Krishna in the forest for a moment, and we see in the forest a particular scene. There is a little, it's difficult to say, it's a forest girl, that's really how you translate it. She lives in the forest and is a servant of the goddess of the forest, who is Vrindadevi. We have a deity of Vrindadevi. And this Vanasaki of Vrindadevi looks through the creepers of the forest and watches Krishna dancing and playing. And after some time, she's just so blissful. She has seen enough. She runs through the forest. She carefully evades all the trees and all the creepers. She calls some parrots, and the parrots understand her language and come with her. And they all go to Srimati Radharani, who's there in Yavat, thinking of Krishna. And this Vanasaki is telling the Radharani about Krishna, and I want to read what she tells, because it's so good what she tells. But let us for a moment chant Krishna's holy name, and as you sing in the company of the other Vaishnavas, try in your mind's eye to remember the pastimes which you have heard. At the end, I will ask all of you, each single one of you, to describe one little excerpt from the pastime. So you have to really now tune yourself in so that you will not be silent and be seen by the other devotees as an atheist. Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. it is easier to see Krishna through the eyes of those who love Krishna. Krishna can only be seen through the eyes of love. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. So, please hear how this forest girl who has run to Radha reports about Krishna. Oh, Radha, when Krishna runs with the boys, the colorful Vaijajanti garland playfully dances on his chest. You must see the dance of this garland on Krishna's chest. Radha, Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the banks of the river Jamuna, just below Govardhan Hill. Sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan become so mad with ecstasy that they close their eyes and they sing. Krishna moves along the forest path with his cowherd boyfriends in Baladev. And Krishna and his friends imitate the singing of the bees while they sing the pastimes. Sometimes Krishna would imitate the cooing of swans. Sometimes he vigorously, that means with strength, imitates the dancing of a peacock, making his cowherd boys' friends laugh. Sometimes Krishna would imitate the chattering of a parrot. Sometimes, with a sweet voice, the call of a cuckoo. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Sometimes, with a voice as deep as the rumbling of clouds, Krishna would call out with great affection the names of the animals who had wandered far from the herd, thus enchanting the cows and the cowherd boys. And sometimes Krishna would cry out in imitation of birds such as the chakoras, kronchas, chakravarkas, bharadvajas, peacocks, and sometimes Krishna would run away with the small animals in mock fear of lions and tigers. These verses are all taken from Shukadev Goswami's mouth, who was there at the parrot and looked at everything. Krishna, who knows all sports and games, called together the cowherd boys and spoke as follows. Hey, cowherd boys, let us play now. As if they would have played all the time. We will divide ourselves into two even teams. I am one leader, Balaram is the other leader. So some boys were on Krishna's side and others joined Balaram. And the boys played various games involving carriers and passengers. In these games, the winners would climb up on the backs of the losers who would have to carry them. So, in this way. When Radharani heard the description of her beloved pastimes from Vinda Devi's forest girl, she swooned in ecstasy. When she came back to consciousness, she yearned to hear more about Krishna and his friends. So the Vana Devi, the forest girl, continues, Radha, how can I describe how Mother Earth reacts to the touch of Krishna's lotus feet? When Krishna steps on the heart jewels, the jewels melt. The marks which are imprinted with signs, the footmarks, are placed lovingly by Krishna on the breast of Mother Earth. But the best in these lotus feet, Radha. Yeah, what is the best, says Radha, in the lotus feet of Krishna? Well, one, the Vanasaki, the forest girl, said, it's a sweet fragrance. The bees catch a whiff of their fragrance. This means a small thing, like this. And they reject immediately the forest flowers and buzz around the lotus feet of Krishna without any false shame. And then, you know, then Krishna, by being together with all the bees, becomes inspired to play his flute. But Krishna pretends he doesn't know where to start. It's called the pitch, you know. Is it a low pitch? Is it a middle range pitch? Is it a high pitch? So the bees come to his ears and go, and then Krishna says, all right, thank you. And then he starts on the same pitch which the best of the bees have given him. Just like a perfect musician takes on the clue from another musician. So as soon as Krishna puts his flute to his lips, an amazing transformation happens in Vrindavan. Listen very carefully, as if your life is dependent on this information. As soon as the immovable entities heard Govinda's flute, they started to sing. That means the mountains started to sing. And the vocal entities, that means the birds who have voices, fell silent. The moving river waves froze and ceased their movement. It's described when Krishna, by Jiva Goswami, when Krishna wants to cross a river which is flowing, he just plays a certain raga, and the river stops, and then the cows all walk over the river like big yogis who cross the water. Krishna's flute song thus reversed means turned around the functions of nature. The world danced in wonderful ways when Shri Krishna pressed his flute to his bimba fruit lips and played the fifth note. The non-moving objects began to tremble. Trees and the mountains and whatever is immovable. It stunned the mobile creatures. It melted stones into a liquid. The stones just go, zoop, liquid, liquid, liquid. It silenced the birds, brought bumps of ecstasy to the vines, made the creepers burst forth with new shoots, as hair standing on end. The flower, the colors in the flowers, they faded. You know, there was this red flower and Krishna played on his flute, and all of a sudden the red flower became white. It was just such a tremendous emotional impact of the flute. In this way, Vrindavan became glorious with the eight transformations of ecstatic love. And the forest of Vrindavan became alive to welcome Krishna. Vrindavan forest sent the birds forward, who were joyfully warbling in the fifth note. And sent the bees forward, and the bees greeted Krishna. Now, Vrindavan forest thought Krishna must be thirsty, so that when Krishna passed under the mango trees, the mangoes opened and some nice mango juice came down. Wonderful. The rich fragrance of the lotus flowers bloomed in the lakes. There was this rich fragrance of lotus flowers from the lake. And you know, everything, this is very important, welcomed Krishna. The trees welcomed Krishna by smiling with their flowers, a flowery smile. We have heard in this word flowery words, but the trees have a flowery smile. And they sing with the swarms of bees, and in this way it's a whole wonderful scene. Now, as the forest of Vrindavan springs to life and greets their Lord Krishna, Krishna comes into a very unusual train of thought. Krishna begins to think of one person, Srimati Radharani. And Krishna feels so much the desire to meet Radha that he begins to see Radha everywhere. For instance, when he sees a golden lotus flower surrounded with bees, he sees in the lotus flower the golden face of Radha. When he sees a peacock with his long tail feathers, he sees the beautiful long hair of Srimati Radharani. In this way, Krishna becomes overwhelmed with deep, deep emotions of love. And it is very difficult for him to play these rough games or these games with the cowherd boys. So he thinks of a way to meet Radha and says to his cowherd boys, let's go to Manasaganga and let the cow drink the cooling water of Manasaganga. And from there, Krishna takes them to a picnic at the banks of Kusum Sarova. Those who know Vrindavan know that there is still a Manasaganga, yeah, in Govardhan town. It's a crystal clear lake, and sometimes you see the mountain of Giriraj coming outside of the lake. Then if you go towards Radhakund, you come to this beautiful Kusum Sarova area. It's there where Krishna ate a picnic with the friends. And after the picnic, Krishna makes plans to meet with Radha. He says to his cowherd boys, you must be very tired, no? No. Let's play. Krishna says, okay, this didn't work. I am very tired. Oh, then let's sleep. So all the cowherd boys go under the shade of the best of trees, and they pretend to go asleep. So Krishna just waits until the cowherd boys, until he thinks the cowherd boys are asleep, and then he wants to steal away. But the cowherd boy, oh Gopal, where are you going? So attached to him. So Krishna again and again makes attempts to put his cowherd boys to sleep, almost like maybe Kanupriya has two little children and she wants to be in spiritual programs, and maybe she's here with us, but she first has to put the children to bed, and she pretends to sleep with her little boy. Her little boy is called Gopal also, and this is sleep, and then she wants to sneak out of the bed and go, but Mama! So Krishna sits now with four trusted ministers. Vrinda is there, Dhanishta is there, and his two aides-de-camps, they're called Subal and Madhumangal, and he reveals the heart. He says, I'm very happy with the cowherd boys, but from everywhere, only one image comes into my heart, and I must meet this best of personalities. She's my Radhika. Please make arrangements. And they say, well, I don't know. They say, how can we meet how can you meet Radharani? She's guarded in Yava by Yatila. Suddenly, my dear devotees, Tulasi arrives with Kasturika. You must know that Tulasi is the trusted maidservant of Radha, and whenever she appears somewhere, it means Radha is very close. It's almost like when you see Gaurahari somewhere, you will know somewhere there is the whole team, Gaura Bhavan. You will know, oh my God, they have arrived, and so on. It's like that. So when in Vrindavan anyone sees Tulasi, especially when she comes with Kasturika, then you know Radha is somewhere. So Tulasi comes and she brings a Vaijajanti garland which has been made by Srimati Radharani very carefully and which still carries the fragrance of Radha's hands. And she puts these garlands together, this garland together with betel nuts, which have also been prepared by Radha, in the hands of Krishna's two friends, Madhumangal and Subal, to give to Krishna. So please take note how Krishna reacts when he gets that garland made by Radharani. Krishna's bodily hair stood erect in delight when Madhumangal, laughing all the while, draped the garland around his neck. As soon as Krishna contacted the garland, he experienced the lingering touch of Radha's delicate hand. Krishna thought that perhaps Radha had come and was hiding in a nearby grove as a joke. Krishna felt dazed by the desire to see Radhika's moon-like face. Then Krishna says, Tulsi, come here. And Tulsi, the small little manjari, comes and she beams with joy. Is your Sakhi Radha happy and well? Tulasi replied, because you are her master, Radha is always happy. Krishna, tell me, where is Radha now? Tulasi, at home. Krishna, but isn't Radha coming to the forest today? Tulasi says, no, not possible. Radha is doing various duties at home under Jatila's order. Oh, Krishna says, what duties has Radha done? Tulasi, Radha is absorbed in thoughts of your love. And she became absent-minded. And she tried to make butter from a pot of water. Krishna, what happened then? Tulasi, Jatila noticed Radha's mistake and chastised her severely. You must be thinking of that Krishna, and locked her in the house. Krishna, oh, listen. Just make a plan with Vrinda Devi to deceive and cheat this Jatila and quickly bring Radha here. Tulasi, oh, that's not so simple. Jatila cannot be fooled so easily. Alas, curses on my fate, says Krishna. So Krishna gets misled by Tulasi, who teases him. And he falls into a deep depression over the difficulty in meeting Srimati Radharani. what shall I do now? Now this is a big tragedy. If God gets depressed, then really everything is over. You know, that is the end of the creation. That's the end of us. I mean, we can sometimes be depressed and then our little world becomes dark. But imagine Krishna becomes depressed and the whole universe will become dark, you know. So... So Tulasi feels, my God, I've gone too fast. Now Krishna gets into a critical situation. Tulasi felt sad. Brinda and Danista looked at Tulasi totally angry. What do you do? So Tulasi very humbly comes to Krishna. Krishna, it's all right. Oh, Gokulananda, cheer up, be happy. Please forgive me, I was only joking. Cast away all your misfortune. Your beloved Radha is almost here. Krishna is just so happy. He takes two champaka flowers from his ears, the yellow flowers. It says, Tulsi, these are my messages for Radharani. Bring these two champak flowers to her. She will know what I want to express with this. And then he says, but where is Radha? Where is she hiding? Tell me. And so in this way, they talk. Then Krishna, finally, he sees all the cowherd boys are around him, looking very innocently, as he had whispered this very softly, where is Radha? Oh, Radha cannot come. And the cowherd boys are all around. Then he says, cowherd boys, I'm so tired, let us sleep now. Let us solidly sleep. Let us sleep like 200,000 light years and so on. And then finally they go all to, he puts them to rest, and then he goes by a very hidden path which leads to the best of lakes, the lake where Srimati Radharani will meet with Krishna. It's a lake which is in geography and in modern geography only around 4 kilometers from Kusum Sarova. Who knows the name of the best of these lakes? Radha could, you know everything. Only liberated souls and sadhakas who have developed the proper bhavas can see the true transcendental form of Radhakund in their hearts. Others see Radhakund only externally and think it is a material place. Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Radha herself. Madhava, the full moon of Braj, was conquered by the endless qualities of Radhakund as he continuously sported there with Radhika in deep love. Just by bathing once in Radhakund, one attains a love for Krishna like Radhika's love for Krishna. Therefore, my dear devotees, who can adequately describe the sweet glories of Radhakund? Imagine, you just take your bath there and you come out in one way. No, you go in one way. You go in with a German passport and you come out in total ecstasy in the love of Radha and Krishna. My dear devotees, understand this. Radhakund filled the heart of Krishna. The guru of all beings with joy, because the different qualities of Radhakund and its waters reminded him of Radhika. However, as Krishna arrived at Radhakund, sees the shimmering waters, he is merged in a feeling of separation from Radha and became extremely eager to meet Radharani. Krishna is at Radhakund and he fixed his eyes on the path which leads to Yavat, a path by which he would know that Radha would come to Radhakund. Krishna looks for a long time with his eyes drenched in tears. All of a sudden, he sees how the forest leading to Radhakund turns golden in color, and he knows she is coming. And her golden effulgence is bathing the forest in a golden color. And he knows she has so much love for me in her heart. I will never understand this as long as I am Krishna. So he turns golden into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience the love which Radharani has as she walks towards Radhakund. My dear devotees, only liberated souls and sadhakas who have developed the proper bhavas can see this transcendental form of Radhakund in their heart. And because I'm not qualified, my words are stopping here. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. That I have stopped, but the pastime stops here. It's the Purvahana Leela, the forenoon pastime, which goes from 8:24 to 10:48. You have to come back tomorrow. Hare Hare Hare. Thank you. two things remain to be done. We will sing this particular Lila Kirtan now, and then we will request you to do a very special little exercise which you will love very much. It's not hard, it's very pleasing. It's only a few minutes. Maybe we can... Denu sahacharasam. I think a little deeper, huh? Denu sahacharasam. Krishna vane jaya. Remember Shri Krishna as he joyfully enters the forest with the cowherd boys and the cows. He's followed by Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda and the other Brajavasis. Eager to have Radha's company, Krishna leaves the cowherd boys and cows and goes to the wooded banks of Radhakund. Denu sahasara sange Krishna vane jaya. Shrimati Radharani, who returns to her home after getting Krishna's signal. Her mother-in-law, Jatila, gives her permission to worship the sun god. Radha secretly watches the path for Krishna's arrival, and after some time, a Sakhi comes and tells her where to meet Krishna. Krishna Raita Paya Radha Nija Grihe Jaya. Lucky, but I said, Saki.
Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Cha, Jai Jai.
please now turn for a few minutes to your neighbor and tell your neighbor what struck you? What did you remember as something significant or something which, you know, the word struck you? And when you are struck by an arrow, it that means it struck you. So what struck you? Please turn to your neighbor, just very briefly.
Thank you.
Krishna. Very nice to see you. It is said when Krishna is out in the forest and finally the sun travels into the western hemisphere, Brijvasis slowly get their life back because they know that soon Krishna will return, and when they meet each other, they only talk about Krishna. The whole talk is centered about Krishna, Krishna this, Krishna that. I heard through a messenger who saw Krishna in the forest and he came back. And this was what Krishna did, and this is what he looked like, and so on. It's very nice to remember Krishna, to think of Krishna, and then to slowly start speaking about Krishna. Then it will be much easier for you to chant also his holy name. But if you never think of Krishna, if you never speak of Krishna, and then you're supposed to sit 2 hours and you're supposed to say 2 hours only his name, that will be very difficult. Only if you think of Krishna, if he is close to you, then you will feel joy in saying his name for 2 hours. I think it's logical. So therefore, it's very important that we start hearing about Krishna and thinking about Krishna. We want to chant about Krishna. Good. So I want to thank you very much. You have successfully finished your, what is it, the third day? Fourth? Third full day and fourth with the half moon, you know. So you have successfully finished, and now, as always, I want to say we have kirtan in the temple room for an hour or so. But please, if you have to take care of yourself or wash your clothes or think or digest, use the time wise. Tomorrow is another full day, normal day of a retreat, but tomorrow we will start to prepare ourselves for the day after tomorrow. The day after tomorrow is the day which most of you have thought about for a whole year, and finally it comes, your 64 rounds day. That is a day which is very important. You will, you know, when you do this, many things happen in your spiritual life. Afterwards, it is not the same any longer. There's something has changed. And if you do it often, then it's very good. So please, therefore, it is my earnest request that you take good care of yourself. We want, on the 64 rounds day, we want to see faces like the sun and the moon. So full with spiritual tejas and spiritual strengths. But it will be extremely easy this time. You will see this time will be like eating rasagulas, so easy. There's some surprise coming. Good. So have a wonderful good night and a very pleasant evening. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
C'est difficile de s'empêcher par là.